On this page, I've given four different sections which can be linked by clicking at the very top under Contents. The first is Origen's description of a threefold method of exegesis found in his text De Principiis on First Principles. One has to be cautious in using this text because it doesn't exist for the most part in the original Greek except in the portion we're going to be looking at. And in many cases it's been reconstructed in a way that is not certain. So one does need to be cautious in using the De Principiis as scholars have attempted to reconstruct it. The Latin version by Rufinus involves involves a lot of editing questions that make some portions of it a little bit uncertain. So there's also a section from the De Principiis on heaven as a place where we engage in this method of exegesis in a way that draws us next to God even beyond life, even past death. There's a third section we will not look at in detail on the notion of love, and it is Origen's desire to vindicate the use of the word eros, the word for love that is sometimes used of falling in love, which is for him a perfectly legitimate way of describing God's love for us and our love for God, not just the word agape. Origen believed that one can and should be willing to use the word eros to describe divine longing and our longing for God, but we won't look at that in any detail. And the fourth section is a second look at a threefold method of biblical interpretation, which is to be found in Origen's prologue to the commentary on the Song of Songs. If we look first at the section on first principles, I've titled it Body, Soul, and Spirit of Scripture because this is what Origen wants to say. He's principally concerned to say that there are three levels of meaning within the Scriptures, just as we as beings have three levels. A created body level, a created soul or second inner spiritual level, and then a highest spiritual level. And he gives a reason for needing to look at these multiple levels at the very beginning. He is concerned to try to find an answer to the fact that in the Scriptures some things are disedifying. Although we can see God present in clearly in things that concern the heavens, when we look at the earth, we've got some problems. And I've kind of highlighted this with a picture of an atomic explosion on one side and a galaxy on the other. It's easy to look up in the stars and see the divine, but if we see what a mess human beings are making of the world, we're sometimes very disedified. And Origen expresses in the text that's been highlighted below that, his goal is to discover in every expression the hidden splendor of doctrines veiled in common and sometimes unattractive phraseology. He believes every phrase of the Scriptures can provide us with a way into God. So, what do we do with the bits of Scripture that are disedifying or seem to have nothing to do with the Gospel? He even gives some examples of this. The next section I've called Scandals in the Text, and please go back and review this a little later on. He gives the example of things from the book of Genesis that simply scandalize us from the perspective of ordinary human interaction or sexual morals. We can only interpret these scandalous texts, he says, by recourse to a method of what we would today call allegorical exegesis. In other words, if the literal sense of the Scriptures only leads us into scandal, we must employ allegory to understand it properly. So then he says that the Scriptures have this threefold level, threefold exegesis of body, soul, and spirit. And so in number 11, he says that the flesh is the obvious sense. The body of the Scriptures is the obvious, or what we would call historical sense. The second level he calls the soul. He does not explain exactly what he means by that in this text. He may mean the moral sense of the Scriptures, but that is not stated here very clearly. And the third level he calls a shadow of the good things to come. The spiritual sense or level of the Scriptures is literally heavenly, often beyond the ordinary or physical sense. If you drop down then in number 12, he says the first sense is capable of imparting edification. The second level of the Scriptures, and he's using an example here of a particular text from the Scriptures, A second level is also capable of being found, but the spiritual sense, he says in paragraph 13, is when one can show heavenly things, an example and a shadow of future blessings. So what he seems to mean by the spirit, the highest level of the scriptures, is a sense of God's presence that transcends time and space and gives us an experience of the world to come. If we drop down now, down to the section labeled the heavenly classroom, there's a picture of a galaxy on one side and a kind of a gathering of the saints on the other. This is an attempt to remind us that for Origen, this is not merely a method of interpreting the scriptures that Christians use in this life. It's a skill which he believes we are to apply in heaven as well. If we learn to find multiple levels, multiple aspects of God's presence in the created order here while we are alive, then that is a skill we will continue to apply in heaven as well. He describes a heaven which is literally a classroom. If we drop down in number 6 to about the third paragraph, he says, we will search out and inquire all the created diverse and arrangements of variety within creation. These, especially in Evagrius, will be called the logoi, the meanings of providence and judgment. If we do that now, he says, there will be given to us after death an acquaintance with an understanding of that reason, those meanings, those values. What we have comprehended here in part, we will see in heaven in its fullness. And so he says in conclusion, and this is highlighted in a kind of a bright yellow, this will be a place of instruction. Heaven, he says, will be a kind of a lecture room or a school for souls in which they can be taught about all that they'd seen on earth and receive an indication of what is to follow in the future. And he goes on to describe making progress in the next section down. Number 7, we will see clearly the nature, he says, of the stars. We'll understand the meaning of the heavens. Are these living creatures? Are the stars living beings or whatever they may be? We will discover basically the mysteries that lie beyond the earth itself. So for Origen, contemplative exegesis is a skill that also has to do with the world to come. We will be in a contemplative education in the next world, in the next life, seeking to deepen in and being drawn into progressively deeper union with God. The next section, highlighted in red, number 3, love from the prologue and the commentary of the Song of Songs, I will leave you to read on your own. Here, Origen is simply saying that for him there's no problem using the word eros. It's perfectly acceptable and reasonable. God, who is called loving affection or caritas, is the same God who is described as the one who is on fire with love for us and for whom we are fired with love, amor in the Latin. Feel free to look at that at your leisure. The last section I'd like to look at very briefly is number 4. Here, there is a clearer threefold method in which Origen associates the first level with the book of Proverbs, the second with the book of Ecclesiastes, and the third with a Song of Songs, as if this threefold division of the wisdom literature was intended to show us a threefold level of meaning within the scriptures, which he calls, very much like Clement, ethics, physics, and epoptics, or a moral level, a natural contemplative level, and a contemplative, strictly speaking, level. Proverbs associated with ethical or moral teaching, Ecclesiastes associated with finding God in creation, the natural order, and the Song of Songs, the great text which Christian mystics comment on when they want to speak about this ineffable sense of God, the sense of God that reaches beyond the world itself. This is the great book of contemplation, the book of what he calls epoptics, what is sometimes inaccurately transcribed as enoptics in some versions of the translation of this prologue to the commentary on the Song of Songs. Dropping a little further down, the moral discipline gives us an honorable manner of life. It concerns habits and virtues. The natural discipline is to look at the nature of every created thing, and the contemplative or inspectiva discipline is where we transcend visible things and behold something of divine and heavenly things in all that has been made. So here we have a second retelling or a second approach to a threefold method of interpretation in Origen, which we will now see again in a slightly different form in Evagrius Ponticus.